And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to Axe Week. This is the preview for Paul Bunyan's Axe as Minnesota heads to Madison to try and reclaim Paul Bunyan's Axe for the first time in 15 years. Before we talk any further, Luke, do you want to give the folks a word from our sponsor?
Yeah, so the Goal Line Club has sponsored this year of the podcast. As always, you can check out the fine events and the many things that they do to support Gopher football on their website, goallineclub.org. Again, it is a very mediocre donation, not mediocre, very small donation to get you to be a member, only $100. And if you want to sign up, it is at goallineclub.org.
So it is Axe Week. It's where it's border battle all through the types of football world. Minnesota has Green Bay at home on Sunday night. We'll be able to see.
Oh, really?
Mike Zimmer. Yeah, we'll be able to see if Mike Zimmer can win a big spot game after the Saints game, the Bears game, the Rams game. Went pear-shaped with that Viking team, but I don't think this Minnesota team has much to hang its hat on when you look at this rivalry. I guess the first question I would have for you, Luke, is, it's one that no Minnesota fan really wants to hear, but you look at rivalry. Is it really a rivalry if you haven't won in 15 years?
It's a valid question. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not been a rivalry many times throughout the history of the said rivalry, the 100 plus years they've been doing this. So everyone's had stretches. Eventually it'll come back. This isn't like Michigan and Minnesota, where Michigan is literally utterly dominated for the entire duration.
Minnesota's beaten Michigan in the last 6 years, and Minnesota hasn't beaten Madison.
Fair enough. Like, I get it, but I'm just saying that, like, it's got this swell right now. But, you know, like Derek said, as a player, you know, I think it means a lot to the players, and the trophy means a lot, even if they've won it multiple times over. It still means a lot.
That's fair enough. I mean, I still consider it a rivalry game, but I know that I've gotten many text messages from people that are Badger fans. My better half is from Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'll be heading there tomorrow night in front of the impending holiday there to go spend some time in the land of the cheese. And I can already assure you I am going to get some good old-fashioned ribbing from that entire side of the family at Thanksgiving about that Badger team versus this Minnesota squad.
Yeah, and that's fair. And there was a time in history where you could have done the same. So, it's just the way it goes. Let's look at it, 20 years from now and compare. We'll see.
I mean, in our defense, what we're going to talk about today is, in my opinion, the most average Badger team I think I've ever previewed for this game in the multi-year history of this podcast. This isn't a team that should be necessarily feared the way that other Badger teams have been going into this game. So it's going to be an awfully interesting game for us to get through and then kind of see where we're at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, fair enough. So let's talk about when the Gophers are on, what do you want to start with, offense or defense?
I think we should start with injuries and the depth chart.
Oh, yeah. But, at the end of the day, like, we don't really learn anything until game time. So give it your best shot, Ryan.
I'll say this. I'll try to make it very explicitly clear for some folks who want to misconstrue my words on this. Depth chart wise, it is literally and figuratively the exact same depth chart from Northwestern. So those of you asking about the status of Donnell Green, Minnesota's left tackle, O.J. Smith, Royal Silver, both did not suit up for last week's game. And then finally, Terrell Smith, who didn't participate in Minnesota's game against Northwestern. I posed that question to P.J. Fleck today, and I got hit with I guess the question was, are there any injury updates on Terrell Smith, O.J. Smith, Royal Silver, any of them? Any? Donnell Green, maybe? And I got hit with some of them are going to play, some of them are not going to play. We'll see what happens on Saturday. So, as explicitly as I can say this, I have no idea truly what to expect in terms of tackle.
And it's also Tuesday, right? Like, there's a lot that can happen from here to then.
Well, you can at least hear who practiced today. You know, did Donnell Green practice today? Did O.J. Smith, Royal Silver, Terrell Smith? it was just a very ambiguous answer. So for those of you looking for the status of maybe the most important injury, which would be Donnell Green, in my opinion, at left tackle, compared to Sam Schluter there, I think is a drastic drop-off. Even when you look at the way Donnell played last week, wasn't great, clearly hobbled. Fleck mentioned after the game that he almost didn't go. You never really want to hear that when you have to go into Madison now and try to be able to put up at least 24, 28, 31 points if you're going to be competing in this game. But we don't know. I mean, Donald Green still listed as a starter in the depth chart, but 2 weeks ago, he wasn't listed as a starter. He wasn't even on the depth chart, and he started. So we don't know. I mean, O.J. Smith and Royal Silver, as far as we all still know, they are still in the concussion protocol. Now, I've heard some different things about they have potentially been cleared, but they're still not able to go on game day for whatever the coach's decision reason is. Same thing with a guy like Antonio Chenault. So you look at Minnesota's secondary issues, wouldn't expect to see Chenault back. Your guess is as good as mine with Royal Silver and or O.J. Smith. I'd feel a lot better if those two were back for this game, considering I think the biggest matchup in this game is Minnesota's interior defensive line versus the interior of Wisconsin's offensive line, and I'd feel a lot better if it was O.J. Smith instead of Sam Renner. But that's the reality of where we're at. We don't know about Terrell Smith. We don't know about O.J. Smith. We don't know about Royal Silver. And we don't know about Donnell Green's status. So stay tuned to Twitter, I suppose. I mean, I'll be at the game in Madison on Saturday. Check Twitter around 1:45 p.m. Game's a 2:30 kickoff. We should get a better idea of who is out there, who is actually going to play as Minnesota tries to get the X back.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. This is a Wisconsin team that is, you know, I think probably more one-dimensional than usual on the season. They're averaging 30.5 points per game, 440 yards in total offense, 162 of which come through the air, 277 coming on the ground on average. I think everyone's familiar with a certain running back named Mr. Taylor. On 261 carries this season, he has 1,869 yards and 15 touchdowns. There is no question that he is the beast that they all ride. And again, they're going to have a strong offensive line per usual. For the Gophers, you know, conversely, they have struggled to stop some teams and then found a way to magically stop others. You know, one case in point being Purdue. So it'll be very interesting to see what this Gopher defense can do against Wisconsin on the road. History would tell us that they will not fare well.
Well, history would also tell you, and this will be the first of, I think, a few different times I'll say this tonight. If you're looking for silver linings into how can Minnesota win this game, well, if you remember back to the last two times Minnesota went to Madison, 2014, 2016, in both games, Minnesota was leading at halftime. And then they choked it away in the second half and route to more losses. Now, how were they able to do that? They were able to make sure that the Wisconsin quarterback was the one that had to beat them. And they were trying to limit things offensively through the running back. Now, you look at this Wisconsin squad of late. They're 3-3 in their last six games. Now, their losses are to pretty good teams in Michigan, Penn State, Northwestern, and their wins are against Illinois and Rutgers, and then they barely snuck it out after Purdue choked away a double-digit point lead in the fourth quarter last week.
In triple overtime, no less.
And they were able to win it in triple overtime thanks to Jonathan Taylor going for 321 yards. So the game plan, in theory, is simple. It's limit Jonathan Taylor to only 120 yards, which that would be, honestly, the way it's trending, that'd be pretty dang good. And then whoever the Badger quarterback is, you got to make him beat. Now, I asked our Wisconsin publisher this week about Alex Hornibrook's status because Hornibrook's been out the last few weeks, and you've seen this Wisconsin offense really stall out at times. You look at two of their last four games now. They lost to Northwestern, where Jonathan Taylor got a little bit nicked up. They did beat Rutgers, which who hasn't beaten Rutgers this year? And they only beat him by two touchdowns at home, which should tell you a lot about the state of this Wisconsin offense right now. And then Penn State, they absolutely laid an egg offensively. Penn State stopped the run. They said Jack Cohn, who is the backup quarterback who's been in for Wisconsin, beat us, and he couldn't do it. Now, you look at last week, that was essentially the same recipe. But then Jonathan Taylor broke a couple of big runs. Wisconsin's back in it. They force overtime, and now here we are. So if you're Minnesota and you're Minnesota's defensive line, specifically Gary Moore, Sam Renner, Jamal Teague, whoever else Minnesota's going to throw out there, you have to have the game of your career. Now, for Gary Moore, it's likely the final game he'll ever play, whereas Jamal Teague, you're still playing as a true freshman. There is a lot of different outcomes that could potentially happen here, but Minnesota's defensive tackles have to be able to maintain their gap integrity. They can't be pushed around like they've been in previous games. Now, Minnesota's done a lot better job of stopping the run of late under Joe Rossi, not exactly to powerhouse running teams in Purdue and Northwestern. But that being said, they've been able to limit running backs with much more efficiency than they had been previously. So if you're looking at what does Minnesota have to do to win this game, they have to limit Jonathan Taylor to under 140 rushing yards and say, Alex Hornibrook and or Jack Cohn, you're the ones that have to beat us with this receiving crew that has been very hit and miss at times. So Minnesota's got to be able to limit this Wisconsin team to not allow them to ride Jonathan Taylor into the ground.
All right, so let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. We're all aware that, you know, if optimism is some, or if we're looking for something to be optimistic about this season, it's been the offense, and, you know, they're a very young unit, but they've started to trend in the right direction. They had arguably their worst game of the season against Northwestern, but it's still, I still stand very optimistic about this offense, especially as it projects into the future. But looking at the season as a whole, the Gopher offense is averaging 27.7 points per game. You know, they're getting a pretty good balance of about 223 yards through the air and about 160 on the ground. Wisconsin, though, conversely, when on defense, is giving up only 23.1 points per game. They're giving up about 207 through the air and about 154 on the ground. You know, in years past, we're very familiar with how good their defenses have been. Those defenses have allowed them to maintain that identity of a run-first offense, and, you know, be able to, you know, more or less be able to manage the clock and wear teams down towards the end. And their defense has just been phenomenal at times. Put a lot of guys in the NFL. Dave Aranda, arguably one of the better defensive coordinators in the country. They weren't able to keep him. But, you know, this defense to me looks like they probably have regressed some, maybe not drastically, but some. And that's probably maybe the biggest deficiency one of the biggest impacts to why they haven't had the sustained success that they've had over the last, I don't know, 10-ish years.
Yeah, you look at this Wisconsin defense, and one of the reasons why Wisconsin has been as average as they've ever been is because of this defense. You're used to a Wisconsin defense being a top 10, top 15 unit in the country. Well, they rank as the 40th best according to Football Study Hall and S&P.
Still good, by the way. That's still actually pretty good.
It's above average, but then you kind of look at the nitty-gritty. They rank as the 69th best run defense and the 64th best pass defense. What does that tell you? That is literally league average or FBS average in those two categories, whereas you're used to them being in the 20s in both of those, really sustaining up that defense. It's just they've battled a lot of injuries, especially in their secondary. They've had much more significant injury issues in their secondary than Minnesota's had. And maybe that's the reason, or it's just Wisconsin's finally coming back down to the mean after them being up on this, you know, bell curve of sorts for 10 years now. Maybe they're finally sliding off the other side here under Paul Chryst. All I know is I'm not tremendously worried about this Wisconsin defense as I have been in previous years. Now, that's going to change if Donnell Green is out and Sam Schluter's in at left tackle. That's going to be a completely different story. But even a 70% Donnell Green, I think this Minnesota offense, if they do some different things with their tight end, can help out the left tackle there. And it's going to be on these Gopher receivers to win these individual matchups. Tyler Johnson has to be having a career day where he only needs 90 yards to break the single season receiving record in the University of Minnesota history. I mean, 90 yards against this Wisconsin team with how Minnesota is likely going to be down at some point in this game. They're going to have to go to a pass-happy game plan. That's where you can see Tyler Johnson especially making his hay there. You're going to need Rashad Bateman to bounce back off his flu game from last week. PJ Fleck said in this post-game press conference after Northwestern, Rashad Bateman was playing through the flu, and you saw that a couple different times in theory with a couple of drops that he doesn't characteristically have. And then you're also going to have to have a big catch or do from guys like Chris Ottman-Bell, potentially Seth Green, one of the tight ends. You're going to need, most importantly, and we'll get into this in my keys to the game, the Gopher quarterback has to play well. Because the Gopher quarterback in the last four Axe Week games has been simply atrocious. I'll get into some stats a little bit later here in my keys to the game. But Tanner Morgan has to bounce back after his worst game of his career last week, and he needs to play well.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I could not agree more that, the other thing is they just really can't lose the turnover battle and expect to win. I imagine that's part of your keys to the game, but we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, let's make sure that we touch on our sponsor, the Goal Line Club, again. All season, we want to thank everybody that participated in the tailgates. That was a phenomenal showing for many of you, which was great. Additionally, want to talk about the signing social. Ryan, can you give a little interlude as to what the signing social is all about before I give the details on the event?
I believe it's called the Signing Day Report with PJ Fleck. Now, essentially, it's the Christmas for everybody here in the recruiting world. As we record this tonight, we are 29 days away until the 2018 National Signing Day. Essentially, all you need to know is PJ Fleck, starting on Sunday evening, will be on the road essentially for essentially on the road in a different state every single day, all the way up until that December 19th date. What happens on the December 19th date? All of Minnesota's class will, in theory, sign their national letters of intent, fax them into the university, and that makes PJ Fleck be able to talk about them, plus they're signed, sealed, and delivered. They're coming to the University of Minnesota. So right. What happens that night? Signing day social. Essentially, for guys like me, it's Christmas. I talked about that. And for this coaching staff, it's Christmas because these are their free agents. These are the trades. These are everything. Because college football, you can't trade. You can't sign. You don't have a practice squad. You need to be able to sign highly rated recruiting classes. As I believe there is statistical data, whichever way you want to look at it, that either the kids with the highest stars or the kids with the most offers, there's the ones that more than likely are panning out. You look at last year's recruiting class, highest rated recruiting class in the last 18 years. Well, this year is right about around there as well. So back-to-back great recruiting classes. And so you come to the signing day social with all your friends. You're able to listen to PJ Fleck talk about this class in general terms. You're able to have a couple beverages, a couple one, two, three, and you're able to talk Gopher football and optimism, Luke.
If you want to attend this event in person, you're going to have to sign up on goalineclub.org. Registration closes December 14th at 1 p.m. The event is Wednesday, December 19th. Doors will open at 5. There will be a light dinner buffet from 5 to 6 p.m. The program will start at 6. There will be a cash bar, and then the event will conclude at 8 p.m. This will be $30 for members, $40 for non-members. Additionally, one other event I want to highlight would be the 2018 banquet. This will be Sunday, December 16th. It is $50 per person, or $500 for a table of 10. Registration is going to close December 11th. That is a Tuesday at 1 p.m. Additionally, there are parking for both events around the $5 to $7 range for either of those. Those will be in the Maroon and Victory lots. The Gopher lot will be the $7. So if you're interested in any of this and you don't want to try and remember what I said, go to goallineclub.org. All right, Ryan, let's get to this. Let's get to the keys to the game. But before we do that, let's take a quick look. The current spread of this game is 11 points in favor of Wisconsin. Wisconsin on the season is 7-4 overall, 3-8 against the spread. The Gophers are 5-6 overall, 6-5 against the spread. This is a 2:30 start in Madison, Wisconsin. When we take a quick look at the weather, it doesn't look like bad football weather at all. It'll be somewhere in about the middle 40s at kickoff. Very little chance of rain at the moment. Again, this is Tuesday. Tuesday evening. Very much could change. Doesn't look like the wind will play a huge factor. Only looks to be in the 7 to 10 mile an hour range for this game. It will have rained the day. Looks like it will have rained the day before. I don't know how that impacts turf field conditions, but it looks like a good November day for football in Madison, Wisconsin.
Certainly does. So I don't think weather, as Luke parlayed there, should be a big factor. So when you look at the keys to the game, my number one is going to be make the Wisconsin quarterback beat you, because Jonathan Taylor is flat out one of the best running backs in the country and my pick for the best running back in the Big Ten. He leads the Big Ten in rushing by 60 yards a game with a very nice total of 169.3 yards per game. The next closest is at 109 per game in Big Ten play. Plus, Mr. Taylor has double-digit rushing touchdowns here in Big Ten play. Now, the question you're going to ask me next is, how the heck do you slow down this rushing attack? Well, Wisconsin grades out as the second-best running offense in the country per Football Study Hall, and they also grade out as the best run-blocking offensive line overall, plus the best run-blocking offensive line in short yardage situations. Now, Minnesota, on the other hand, below average in both of those categories when you look at it via Football Study Hall. So if Minnesota is going to have a shot in this game, they're going to have to slow down Taylor, because in this Badger team's four losses this season, Jonathan Taylor is averaging only, and I say only in fake quotes there, 112 rushing yards a game. And he has, in those four losses, one rushing touchdown combined. Now think about that.
Whoa.
That means that in all these other games, if Jonathan Taylor is getting multiple rushing touchdowns, probably not good for the outcome of your team going against him. So on the flip side of things, let's look at how the Wisconsin quarterback has fared in Wisconsin's four losses this year. Well, Luke, they're completing 54% of their passes for only a Mitch Leidner-esque 127 passing yards a game, with a touchdown to interception ratio in Wisconsin's four losses of two total passing touchdowns and five interceptions. So if Taylor is slowed down and Wisconsin's offense falls apart because the quarterback hasn't shown capable of leading them to a victory, how is that going to happen? It's going to happen because in Joe Rossi's two games as the interim defensive coordinator, opposing running backs have been limited to an even 3 yards a carry on 50 rushing attempts. Now, again, Purdue, Northwestern, not exactly powerhouse rushing teams, but on 50 running back attempts, they've been limited to just 3 yards a carry. And if Minnesota's able to do that, they're going to have a shot in Madison. Number two, Tanner Morgan is going to have the best game of his career. I mean, it's as simple as that in theory, but I say that because you look at the Minnesota quarterback play over the last 4 years against Wisconsin, okay? In the four axe games, so in 2014, 15, 16, 17, last 4 years, Gopher quarterbacks, Luke, what do you think their completion percentage is in the last four games against Wisconsin?
Oh, it's probably 40-ish percent.
It is lower than that. Gopher quarterbacks in the last four games against Wisconsin have combined to go 33 of 90. 33 of 94, a very, very putrid 36.6% in completion percentage. 36% of their passes are being completed for an average of 129 passing yards a game. Now, can you guess the touchdown to interception ratio for Gopher quarterbacks in the last four games against Wisconsin?
Oh, I got to imagine it's one touchdown for every two interceptions.
Minnesota quarterbacks in their last four games against Wisconsin have a touchdown to interception ratio of 2-7. 2-7. And I'm still talking about in two of those games, in Madison, you were leading at halftime. Think about that. Your Gopher quarterback has played about as poorly as he's ever played, yet you're winning at halftime. Two passing touchdowns, seven interceptions, and a completion percentage of 36%. That's bad. Now, with the quarterback averaging less than nine completions a game and 36% completion percentage, it is really mind-blowing that Minnesota's been winning the last two times they've played in Madison going into that third quarter. Now, Tanner Morgan, Minnesota's presumed starter here against Wisconsin, is coming off the worst game of his young career. Three turnovers, sub 60% completion percentage. He's going to have to throw that all out the window and have a clear mind, a clear conscience, and a clear soul for the final Big Ten game of Minnesota season. Wisconsin secondary, I've mentioned previously on this podcast, has been dealing with a ton of injuries. So for the second straight week, in theory and on paper, that sets up well for guys like Tyler Johnson, who needs just 90 yards to break the Gophers' all-time single-season receiving record, and he needs just one touchdown to tie Ernie Wheelwright and I believe Ron Johnson as well for the most touchdowns, receiving touchdowns in a single season as well. So you have to think the odds are that Tyler's going to be able to get both of those records if Minnesota's going to be competitive in this game.
All right.
My computer just went to sleep, so everything I was reading is now gone. So I am going to have to give me 5 seconds here while I wake my computer back up.
All right.
Just the game, the podcast that'll never die. By the way, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it. You have it recorded. You'll see how the Gophers are doing right now when you get off this podcast.
Yeah, it's that bad.
Well, are you following it via Twitter or not?
No.
Okay, I won't say anything.
All right.
I will say Jordan Murphy got the rebounding record, in case you were.
Well, I mean, he only needed one or two.
All right. So the balls are going to have to come out on time for Tanner Morgan. He's going to have to be accurate all day long, and the Gophers are going to have to continue to put up points after 4 empty positions in NU territory last week resulted in 0 points. Can't have that happen in Madison. And then finally, Luke, your favorite one, the one I've talked about seemingly every week, you have to win the turnover battle. If you're going to win the Axe in Madison, where you haven't won since 1994, I was 2 years old. I was 2 years old when Minnesota last won in Madison. You have to win the turnover battle. In Minnesota's last 4 games with Wisconsin, can you guess what the Gophers' take-give has been?
Boy, I'll go with it's probably like 1-3. Gophers have 1 take to every 3.
All I know is
so
Gophers
minus 8.
Minus 6. They are minus 6 in the take give in the last 4 games against Wisconsin. And when you look at Minnesota in 2018 Big Ten play, Minnesota is dead last in turnover margin. They are minus 11. And Fleck said this today, and I agree with him. It's flat out remarkable that this team is 5-7 and they're minus 11 in Big Ten play. I mean, they have 21 turnovers in 8 Big Ten games, and then just 10 takeaways on the flip side of it. So that cannot continue to happen if you're going to get the Axe back. And this means the Gopher offense has to take care of the ball. And Luke's favorite saying, the ball is the program. They're going to have to value it on offense and force multiple turnovers on defense, because in their 4 road games this year, Minnesota's defense has only forced 4 road turnovers.
All right. So when it comes to predictions, I'll go first. I don't have enough faith at this point, and maybe this is too bad, in the Gophers' ability to stop anyone on the road. They haven't been able to show it yet this year. I'm struggling to come up with a justification as to how Minnesota can win this game. I think
we've laid it out how they can win. The question is going to be, do you think Minnesota can finally do what they haven't been able to do the last 2 times they've been in Madison, and that's finish this Badger season?
No, I think at this point the inexperience on offense, just as well as they've played at times, I just don't know that it's gonna be their time. I do think that Fleck eventually will win a game, whether that in Madison, but I just don't know if it's this year. So I'll go with Wisconsin 24, the Gophers 17. They'll cover the spread.
All right. Final thing I'll say here before we log off, and you can go back to enjoying your in-laws, enjoying everything that is about the festive Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Minnesota has not won in Madison since 1994, hasn't beaten Wisconsin overall since 2003. They've had their opportunities, including leading at halftime in Madison in 2014, 2016, but they aren't able to close it out. Wisconsin is as vulnerable as they've ever been. But until Minnesota can prove that they can finish in Madison, I think that's where the axe will stay. Wisconsin 28, Minnesota 24. And as someone who's going to be attending that game as their in-laws or diehard Badger fans, I'm rooting that this Gopher team can attain bowl eligibility and get the axe back in the same win. But until they can prove that they can finish in Madison and end this awful streak, I have to be proven otherwise.
Yeah. All right. We want to thank everyone for listening. Again, if you enjoy the podcast, please rate and subscribe on whatever podcasting aggregator that you use. We want to thank our sponsor, the Goal Line Club, as always. Go Gophers.